ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामैहं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम्। नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। टुडे इज द डे as you already heard many times, the day when Srila Prabhupada arrived in America. The cargo ship in which Srila Prabhupada went to America reached the Boston port, and Srila Prabhupada's destination was New York, so it was just a temporary stop. But that's the day when Srila Prabhupada arrived in America. Therefore, it is very significant to us, because this day marks the biggest spiritual revolution that started on this planet. There has been many religions that have spread throughout the world, but the religion or the spiritual process that brings about the greatest benefit to a spirit soul has not spread this effectively so far, before Prabhupada's arrival there, before Prabhupada starting this Hare Krishna movement in the form of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to spread Krishna Consciousness all over the world, which was a prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. And not only it would spread all over the world, but he emphatically mentioned that this movement would spread in every town and village all over the world. No place will be excluded. Every town and village. Actually, this movement has the potency, what to speak of human beings in the towns and villages, even the animals in the forest can also become affected by this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally demonstrated that when Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan, he was traveling through the forest of Jharkhand, which is which used to be in Madhya Pradesh, which belonged to Madhya Pradesh actually at one time. It was a dense forest infested with wild animals. And Mahaprabhu made even the animals chant and dance with this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So that signifies the potency of the holy name of the Lord. And after all, why not? Even the animals are also spirit souls. The body of an animal is just the external covering. But when this holy name reaches deep down in the heart of a living entity, he becomes aware of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he becomes aware of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he naturally begins to respond in the form of expressing his love for the Lord by chanting his glory, chanting his name. So this is how powerful this holy name is. That's why out of millions of mantras, this is the only one Maha Mantra. Its effect is inconceivable. Its potency is beyond anyone's imagination. So Srila Prabhupada was specifically sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill that prediction. Otherwise, it's an impossible prediction. How can anybody would consider, how can this dharma, let's put it that way, this religion, which is an Indian thing, apparently, how will it be accepted by the people all over the world? And not only all over the world, but in every town and village. How will it be possible? Even Mahaprabhu's, many of Mahaprabhu's followers, or even I can say most of Mahaprabhu's, those who are in the recent days, those who have been following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, even they did not take it seriously. They thought it was just a poetic exaggeration in the scriptures. Or Mahaprabhu just said it, just to mean that it will spread quite effectively. Maybe every town and village in India, but all over the world, every town and village, they couldn't conceive of that. But we notice that at least three personalities did not have any doubt about that prediction. They, in their writings, made it absolutely clear. And those three personalities are Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, as early as in 1890s, when India was in total grip of British domination, Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote in his Bhagavat, small book written in English, about 64 pages. And in that book he very clearly mentioned that this teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will spread all over the world. And all the religions of the world will come under the umbrella of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. Now what an incredible faith he had in that prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the Britishers so successfully made even all the Indians believe that they're useless, their culture is useless, their literatures are nothing but a bunch of fairy tales, and they have nothing to be proud of. At a time like that, Bhaktivinod Thakur is writing in English that a time will come when all the entire world will accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, and all the religions of the world will become perfectly harmonized under Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. What a prediction, what a faith he had. Many Englishmen questioned Bhaktivinod Thakur. Do you really mean that? He had many friends. He was a very high-ranking government officer. And they questioned those friends of his. Do you really mean it? And Bhaktivinod Thakur said, yes. Not only I mean it, I have absolute faith in it that it will happen. And he mentioned two things. One is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his words are not going to go in vain. And he also predicted that a personality will come who will make it happen. It don't happen just like that. A very special personality will come and he will make it happen. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually predicted about Srila Prabhupada's appearance. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as you all know, while he so effectively spread Krishna consciousness all over India, but he was not satisfied. His eyes was onto the towards the west. And he was encouraging his disciples to take up that mission. He himself sent some of his disciples. He sponsored their trip to the west. And as you know, during the first meeting, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed Srila Prabhupada, why don't you take up this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world in English language? And Srila Prabhupada also accepted that instruction as his life and soul. The first meeting, Prabhupada was a little skeptical also, because he didn't have much faith on the sadhus of India those days. Because his father was a very pious man, and he often used to invite the sadhus at home. But Srila Prabhupada noticed that most of the sadhus just come to eat. They were, it was their means of sustenance. Wearing the dress of a sadhu was get some free meal. And naturally, he didn't have a respect for those sadhus. And when his friend, Naren Mallik, told him about this sadhu, Prabhupada, and he wanted him to meet him, because he himself was very impressed. And Prabhupada mentioned once that actually, among his friends, he was like the leader. And they wanted to have his opinion before confirming their conviction. So Naren Mallik came. He was very impressed seeing Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he could see that he was a very educated person, very aristocratic, very, very unusual personality. So he was naturally very impressed, and he was an aristocrat from Calcutta. Their family is very well known. For Mallik family is very well known in Calcutta. And he was impressed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's demeanor. And he came and told Prabhupada Abhay, that I met a sadhu and he's really brilliant. So why don't you come and meet him? Prabhupada's immediate reaction was, I'm not interested. I've seen many of those sadhus. They're anything else but a sadhu. So that was Prabhupada's reaction. So when he went, but Naren Malik insisted, no, please come, he is different. And so Prabhupada went to see him, being persuaded by his friend. So, but we can well imagine what was Prabhupada's attitude, what Prabhupada's attitude must have been at that time. He kind of thought that he's one of those sadhus. And so Prabhupada was quite skeptical, naturally. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just saw him, just enter into the room. And he just addressed him. Why don't you take up the mission of spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message in English language in the foreign countries? Prabhupada couldn't comprehend that he was actually telling him. Now Prabhupada was surprised. You're telling me? And he said, yes, you are an educated young man. Why don't you take up this mission? And that naturally left a very deep impression in Prabhupada's mind. And again, Prabhupada himself mentioned that when they were returning home from there, Naren Malik asked him, so what do you think of him? What do you think of this sadhu? And Prabhupada's response was, now the mission and responsibility of spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message has come upon a personality who will do something about it. Who will positively do something about it. So that is how it started. Krishna consciousness movement. The seed was planted in the heart of an absolutely qualified disciple by an absolutely qualified spiritual master. Prabhupada did not accept the formality of initiation for another 11 years. But he started to act towards fulfilling that mission, that instruction, from that very day onwards. What do we see? The next thing that Srila Prabhupada did, he quit his job. He was a 26-year-old young man. He was married. He had a son. Naturally, he had so many other responsibilities, and on top of everything, he had the big responsibility of maintaining his family. And it seems that quite irresponsibly, Srila Prabhupada quit his job or submitted his resignation from the job. He was holding a very nice position. At the age of 26, he was the manager of a pharmaceutical company. One of the first pharmaceutical companies in India. The first Indian pharmaceutical company was Bengal Chemical, set up by Acharya, what's his name? Prafulla Chandra Ghosh, I think, yeah. Anyway, he set up, he was a scientist himself, and he set it up. And the next one was this Dr. Bose's laboratory, established by Dr. Kartik Bose. And those days, not many industries were flourishing in India. But Calcutta was the place. Calcutta was the most busy business center those days. And so these movements, the industrial development started in Calcutta actually. Calcutta was the first place in India where it all started. And Srila Prabhupada was one of the pioneers practically of the chemical industry in India, and he was the manager of Dr. Bose's laboratory. Kartik Bose was his father's friend, and he used to love him. He had a lot of affection for him. Kartik Bose saw that he is an exceptional personality, this boy. He saw Srila Prabhupada as a person with a lot of promise. And one day, by that time Prabhupada completed his studies, and Kartik Bose came to the house, and he came across a diary where Prabhupada was writing his thoughts and ideas. He was very impressed, and he asked Prabhupada's father, "So, this is Abhay's writing?" He said, "Yeah, it's his diary. What's Abhay doing?" "Well, he is trying to..." He got involved in brokerage in the share market. So Dr. Bose said, "When he comes home, please tell him to come and see me." So Prabhupada was told that Dr. Bose wanted to see him. And Prabhupada went and met him. So Dr. Bose asked him what he was doing, and he said that he was acting as a broker in the share market. And Dr. Bose said, "Why don't you join my company?" Prabhupada said, "No, I don't want to take up a job, because job is a business of a sudra." So Dr. Bose said, "To be a broker in the share market also is not a very respectable occupation." Because brokerage is, in Bengali, the word is dalal. So dalal is not a very respectable term. And then he convinced Prabhupada that, "Look, you are not accepting a job. Why don't you consider that you are joining the family business? I treat you as my son, so doesn't the son naturally join the father's business? Does he think that he is accepting a job?" So in this way he convinced Srila Prabhupada to join. But then, after meeting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada just goes and submits his resignation. Dr. Bose was shocked. Already he had to face a lot of music from his employees. They became envious. They had been working for so many years in that company, and now he just got a 24 years old. Just a 24-year-old man, young man, without any experience, fresh out of college, and he makes him the manager. So when they asked him, "Why are you appointing such an inexperienced young man in such a responsible position?" So Dr. Bose's response was that, "I didn't appoint him according to his age. I gave him the appointment because of his ability. And in course of time, you will see what he is capable to do." And sure enough, Prabhupada proved his worth. Prabhupada said at the beginning they all were very, very much opposed to him, very uncooperative. But then they all became submissive to him in a very wonderful way. So we can see Srila Prabhupada was holding a very important position, but he wanted to quit that job. Why? When Dr. Bose asked him, why you are doing that? He said, I met a sadhu who asked me to spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world. And he said, okay, I mean, that's fine. You can be involved in your spiritual activity, but that doesn't mean that you have to quit your job. And Prabhupada said, no. When I'm getting paid for my job, then my time is actually sold out to you. My time doesn't belong to me, because my time has been sold out to you. So I won't have the time to do this job. He asked, what will you do? He said, I'll start my own business. And I will maintain my family, and whatever spare time I have, or most of the time that I will have, I will be engaged in preaching message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Dr. Bose, who was a real well-wisher of Srila Prabhupada and who had a lot of affection for him at that time, he told him, then, since you are so bent on starting your own business, why don't you take the soul selling agency of my products for North India? Prabhupada accepted that. And that's why Prabhupada left Calcutta, went to Allahabad, set up his establishment there, and selling the products of Dr. Bose's laboratories. So here also we can see Srila Prabhupada had such a conviction that Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world in every town and village. He had that conviction and he was working towards it. Once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked Srila Prabhupada, so how is your business? Prabhupada says, not doing very well. His reply was, I'm not surprised. Because in order to be successful in business, you have to love money. But you are not in love with money. So how will you make it? So Prabhupada was running his business, but his heart was not in making money. His heart was in how to spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And many people cheated Srila Prabhupada in business. They saw, here is a nice simpleton, simple person. So take him for a ride. They took the goods in credit but didn't pay. Dr. Bose had to come to Allahabad to bail Prabhupada out of this calamity. And this is how we see, like, Prabhupada was completely committed to spreading Krishna consciousness. And it is a pity that many of his associates could not recognize Srila Prabhupada during that time. Such a brilliant personality. I came across Srila Prabhupada's writing from 1948 onwards. It was soon after I joined ISKCON. I was going to different libraries of Gaudiya Math and reading the books. And I came across Srila Prabhupada's writings. And it was so brilliant. And I used to wonder, how come people couldn't, those who were around him couldn't recognize him? Whereas we notice that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recognized him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recognized him. That's why at the very first meeting he instructed, and as Anandamaya Prabhu pointed out through that anecdote from one of his Prabhupada's associates from early 30s, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had full faith. And that's why he treated him the way he did. Sometimes some people in Gaudiya Math suggested, Prabhupada was in Bombay, so they asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we need some manager, we need somebody to manage the temple, so why doesn't Abhay Babu do that? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's response was, don't drag him into management now, or don't drag him into it now. In course of time, he will do amazing things, but now leave him alone. And we can also see that. Why? Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew that there will be internal strife in Gaudiya Math soon after his disappearance. And he wanted to leave Prabhupada out of all that. Because if Prabhupada was involved in the temple, then he would have been caught up in that internal strife and conflict. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also predicted that. Before leaving the planet, he said, Agun jolbe, there'll be fire in Gaudiya Math. And true enough, that's what happened. Now, a pure devotee like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew who is who and what's going to happen. And another thing I also felt when I was reading Srila Prabhupada's writings from 1948, such a brilliant piece of writing. Although those times Prabhupada mainly wrote in Bengali, but he wrote in English also, but we are not, like for example, he wrote his Vaspuja offering to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Adore you all, a happy day. So in 34, Prabhupada wrote in English a beautiful poetry in offering. So that shows Prabhupada's ability, Prabhupada's command over English language. But those writings are in Bengali, but such brilliant writing. And I was wondering why they couldn't recognize him. And the thought that came to my mind is that human beings are naturally envious. And envy is not to appreciate the greatness of a person who is standing next to you. They had difficulty, therefore, recognizing, because in their eyes, how did they see Srila Prabhupada? They saw him just as a householder. And they had their pride. Oh, we are sannyasis, we are leaders, we are so close to our Guru Maharaj. But silently, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preparing Srila Prabhupada. And we have seen through Prabhupada's writing, practically through every single action of Srila Prabhupada. He was not only brilliant, he was excellent, he was unique. Whatever he did was unique. Although he went to America penniless, practically. The pauper, he went to America. But the way he dealt with people, he was like a king. At least that's one thing of course Prabhupada has many aspects, but one thing I've learned and which kind of sank very deep in my heart is that Prabhupada, whatever he did it in the best possible way. He did everything first class. And he wanted us to do everything first class. Prabhupada didn't want to compromise with mediocrity. No second class business. For Prabhupada, everything is first class. Everything must be first class. And when Prabhupada didn't like something, He didn't like the standard. You know what Prabhupada would tell me, at least? It's low class. It's low class. So Prabhupada wanted everything to be first class. So this is also, I would request all of you, please make sure that whatever you do, it must be first class. Don't compromise the quality. Krishna is the supreme, and if you are representing Krishna, what should be your action like? I'll give an example. Say America is a very opulent country. So when somebody goes to some other country representing America, what kind of arrangements are made for him? Say America establishes an embassy in India. Isn't it befitting America's standard? Or does America set up their embassy according to Mongolian standard? No. American embassy must be according to American standard. So what to speak of Krishna's standard? Everything must be first class. There is no compromise in quality. Sometimes you have seen, I get upset, I shout when I see that the things are not done according to. Like just now you saw, like I asked something, them to do something, but the way they have done that, I mean that was not even low class. That was, you know, like either do it first class or don't do it. Because if you do something low class, then it will become a laughing stock of people. People won't take us seriously. So this is another thing that we have to understand, that our mission is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So for people all over the world to accept it, they have to have respect for what we are doing. They must appreciate what we are doing. If they don't appreciate, why they will accept? Why they will accept our mission, our teachings, our ways, if they do not appreciate it? But if they appreciate it, yes, then they will. Then they will accept it wholeheartedly. They'll accept it wholeheartedly. And that's what happened. Like, look at the standard that Srila Prabhupada established. Where do you see the kind of shringar that is there in ISKCON temple? Is there any temple in the world that matches ISKCON's quality of shringar? No. So this is Prabhupada's standard, first class. So that is what Srila Prabhupada expects out of us. We may come from a humble background, that doesn't matter. But when you come to ISKCON, we must develop the spirit of ISKCON. We may not come from a very opulent background, that doesn't matter. But in ISKCON, we must develop the proper standard. Like whatever we do, and that's, I think, I consider that's my responsibility also, to train people. And at least one thing I have noticed, that people recognize that when I train up my devotees, especially my personal servants, in cooking, they are recognized as very good cooks, if not the best cooks. Like Shivash, recently we were in Switzerland, and he made some pizza. And those who took that, they said this is the best pizza they had. Although he is apparently a simple village boy, but he has been trained up to make things in such a way. And what to speak of Switzerland accepting that he made the best pizza. Even in Italy, they accepted that his pizzas were the best. So, it's a matter of training. It's a matter of learning. And it's a matter of having that sincere attitude. So, to be Srila Prabhupada's follower, be sure of one thing, that you have to become first class. And whatever you do, it has to be first class. Don't compromise. And is it difficult? No. And because you are a spirit soul. And the spirit soul is first class. Spirit soul in its spiritual identity is endowed with the same qualities as Krishna. Although to a minute extent, but he has the same qualities as Krishna. And how does he derive those qualities? He derives those qualities by being submissive to Krishna, by being surrendered to Krishna, by depending upon Krishna. Prabhupada used to make one point very clear, that whatever he was doing is simply due to the mercy of his spiritual master and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once in Calcutta, the press came to interview Srila Prabhupada. Quite a few press reporters came. And one person, very eloquently and quite sincerely, was glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what you have done, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself didn't do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness all over India, but you spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prabhupada's immediate response was, I haven't done anything. My Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had done everything. They are simply giving me the credit. That is how humble Srila Prabhupada's attitude was. Whatever I am doing is simply the doings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and my Guru Maharaj. They are doing everything, but they are somehow, out of the causeless mercy, they are giving me the credit. Although Srila Prabhupada was very straightforward, Srila Prabhupada was very upright. Srila Prabhupada always called a spade. But when it came to personal aggrandizement, Srila Prabhupada didn't want to take any credit. He gave all the credit to his spiritual master. And many a times Prabhupada used to say, Krishna used to quote that verse, Krishna Shakti Vinana He Tar Pravartan. The Krishna consciousness movement spreads only by the potency of Krishna. And when somebody does that, we have to understand that he has become empowered. Now, when we become empowered, can we take the credit for what we have done? No. Because it becomes clear that it's not we who did that. It is being empowered by the Lord and his devotees, spiritual master, that we are able to do it. So it's a very special day for us. And also I was thinking of one thing, like that although it's a very special day, but we celebrate this day only in this temple. Now in ISKCON actually, this day is being celebrated as to mark Srila Prabhupada's appearance in the United States of America. And it also started, probably in the course of time it will happen, but I'll also explain how it started, because sometimes devotees wonder why I do not celebrate this day as my birthday, or which is known as Vyas Puja. Because I took the responsibility of initiating at a time when many spiritual masters in ISKCON had spiritual difficulties. Therefore, I was very, very sensitive about that. That what if it happens to me also. And that's why I started off with a fear that it may happen to me also. Therefore I felt, let's not take this worship, because along with the worship comes the possible danger. Like if you are on the flat ground and if you fall, it doesn't hurt you so much. But if you are on top of a skyscraper and you fall, sometimes some devotees tell me, why do you speak like that? That because devotees, especially the disciples, want to feel or want to believe that our guru will never fall down. And yes, that faith one should have, but on the part of a guru, he should always remember that the jivas are fallible. The only infallible is Achyuta, Krishna. Krishna is the only one who is infallible. And when we remain properly connected to Krishna, then also we become infallible. The jiva's safety net is Krishna's lotus feet. Hold on to it. But at the same time, he should also have this awareness. I mean, what to speak of me? Even Prabhupada used to pray. At least he used to tell us that I pray to Krishna that I don't fall down. So taking this safety measure, there is nothing wrong in it. Actually, what is better? To broadcast that I am infallible and then someday I fall down? Recognize that I am fallible, but if I hold on to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, then I am safe. So that is the mood I want to harbor in my heart. And another thing I want to say in this respect is that a spiritual master doesn't want disciples. Spiritual master doesn't need disciples. What he needs is the shelter of the lotus feet of his spiritual master. That is the only thing that he needs. He never thinks that he has become guru. He knows that he has a Paramahamsa Guru. And if he remains properly situated at his lotus feet, then those who are taking shelter of him also will be safe. Because if I am holding on to some safe and secured. If I am secured, then if others who are holding on to me, they also will be secured. That is our principle, that's our way of doing things. On our own, we are useless, we are completely helpless. But when you hold on to the lotus feet of our Mahabhagavat spiritual master, then we are spiritually secured. I have seen many big aggrandizement, big worship. But then what happened? When they had spiritual difficulties, their disciples lost faith in the process and left. Do we want that? No. Therefore I always tell, when I give initiation, I always remind you all that remain safely situated on ISKCON. ISKCON is your real shelter. Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet is your real shelter. And if you remain at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, your spiritual life is secure. And my responsibility as your spiritual master is to secure you at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. That is my strength. On my own, I am not able to help anybody actually. I can't even help myself. What to speak of helping others? Sometimes I make that point also, that if it is a matter of me taking my disciples back to Godhead, forget it. Like when I myself do not know whether I'll make it back to Godhead, how can I assure that I'll take my disciples back to Godhead? But I may not be able to take my disciples back to Godhead, but I know that if I can secure my disciples at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, if I can help them to develop their proper relationship with Srila Prabhupada, their spiritual life will be safe and they will go back to Godhead without any doubt. So we are extremely fortunate that we have somehow or other become connected to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet through his ISKCON. Whether we met Srila Prabhupada personally or not, it doesn't really matter. There have been many devotees who had very close association of Srila Prabhupada, but they left ISKCON. So where are they today? Prabhupada himself said that outside, if we leave ISKCON, there's no hope. There's no hope for it. If you think that you can maintain your spiritual life leaving the shelter of ISKCON, forget it. No hope. Of course, Prabhupada was meaning those who have joined ISKCON, those who are in ISKCON already. This point I wanted to make or clarify, because sometimes I have been challenged by somebody. Aren't there pure devotees outside of ISKCON? Yes, there are pure devotees outside of ISKCON. But those who have joined ISKCON, if they leave ISKCON and go anywhere else, then their spiritual life is not safe. If they are outside of ISKCON, yes, sure, they can make spiritual advance. And someday they'll come to ISKCON. But those who are already in ISKCON, if they leave the shelter of ISKCON, and personally I have seen so many powerful individuals, very exalted devotees, but when they left the shelter of ISKCON, their spiritual life was lost. I remember in this respect one of my very senior sannyasi godbrother. I used to see him as an exemplary personality, very austere, very learned, very committed, very sincere. And he left the movement at one time. And I thought, even though he left ISKCON, he will maintain his spiritual life. Whenever I used to go to America, I used to inquire about him. How is he doing? And first time I heard that he is practicing very strictly. He is staying in one devotee's father's house in Canada. And he is very, very strict in his sadhana. I didn't meet him, but I was happy to hear that. Next year I went, I asked how he was doing, and I heard that he is practicing very nicely, very sincerely, but he also is studying law. He went to the university to study law. Then, after a couple of years, when I went to America, I asked how he was doing. And I was told that he is, now he is working as a lawyer's assistant. And because he is working, his sadhana is not really that strong. But he is following strictly. The next year I went, this time I met him. Oh no, when he was a lawyer's assistant, that time I only met him. He was working, I saw him dressed like, not naturally, he was working outside. He was dressed in suit and tie. And it was quite a sight, because I always saw him as a very strict sannyasi, always with his danda in his hand. But now I have to see him dressed in suit and tie. And the next year I went, and when I inquired about him, I heard that he is going out with a girlfriend and he comes to temple with her sometimes, and that's how the devotees got to know that he has a girlfriend. And then eventually he got married. So although it took time, but the safety net was gone. So there was nothing to secure his spiritual life. On the other hand, we see a devotee who may not be very strong in his sadhana. He may not be very exemplary as a devotee, but if he is in ISKCON, his spiritual life is safe. Year after year, he is just going on without any difficulty. So, of course, I don't want to imply that to be a householder means to become fallen. No. To be a householder is not fallen, but for a sannyasi to become a householder is a major fall down. Sannyas order is very, very serious order. Sannyas, for a sannyasi to fall down means his death. He's dead. That's why the understanding is when a sannyasi falls down, he should go and drown himself in Triveni. He should give up his body. So, it's a serious order. We have a very important mission and we should not compromise. So whatever, even if we are sannyasi or householder or brahmacharya or vanaprastha, again, we have to be first class in that ashram. The householder should be first class householders. Brahmachari should be first class brahmacharis. Whatever we are, we should be first class. Whatever we are doing, we should do it first class. Prabhupada, when he wrote, it was first class. When he spoke, it was first class. Not only first class, it was unique. When he wrote, it was unique. When he spoke, it was unique. When he cooked, it was unique. And even when he chastised, it was unique. I have never seen anyone as heavy as Srila Prabhupada. I mean, we had some heavy-duty devotees also, like most of you have heard, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was famous for his heaviness. He was very heavy. But in front of Prabhupada, he was a child. I mean, I saw Prabhupada, he used to tremble when Prabhupada chastised. To give you another example, two leading devotees made a mistake. They were in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was very upset. I mean, it was a major, major mistake. Prabhupada was very upset. And Prabhupada called them in his room and he blasted them, chastised them so heavy. And finally, when Prabhupada stopped, they were still sitting there. And Prabhupada asked them to leave. They're still sitting there. And then finally, Prabhupada shouted that he wanted them to leave. They couldn't get up and walk out of the room. They crawled in forth. Actually, the chastisement was so heavy that they didn't have the strength to even stand up. So that is Prabhupada, that is a pure devotee of the Lord. And so to achieve our spiritual perfection, we simply have to become a speck of dust at His lotus feet. And that is the greatest good fortune that we can ever receive. The greatest good fortune is to become a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Let us not become big devotees. Let us become just a humble servant of Srila Prabhupada. And then all kinds of wonderful things will happen. Actually, for this movement to spread all over the world in every town and village, all kinds of wonderful things have to be achieved by the devotees. Otherwise, how this movement will spread? If we just, as Prabhupada said, ring the bell and have picnics in the temple. Like Prabhupada's definition of just staying in the temple and taking care of the deities and having prasad is not enough. It was synonymous to just worshipping the deity was just ringing the bell. And taking prasad is having a picnic. So to stay in the temple is not everything. We have to think of how to spread this movement throughout the world. Not that we all have to become big leaders, but at least whatever we are doing, we must try to do in the best possible way. Then only all kinds of wonderful things will happen. And we can also go back to that point, that Krishna Shakti, bina nahi tar pravartan. This movement will expand, this movement will grow, this movement will spread only through the potency of Krishna. Now how will this potency of Krishna act? Krishna's potency will act only when we become His via media. How do you become a via media? How do you become a via medium? We become a via medium only when we become completely surrendered. Like it is the principle of conduction. In physics, you know the principle of conduction, or like the copper is a cable, right? And through copper, electricity passes very quickly. Why? Because there is no resistance. Whereas through wood, electricity doesn't pass. Why? Because there is resistance. Now, what causes this resistance? The cause of resistance is our false ego. The feeling of me and mine is what causes the resistance. And if there is resistance, then Krishna's potency, Krishna's mercy, Krishna Shakti will not flow through us. But if we become free from false ego, then it will spread, it will transmit very easily, very quickly. So, should we become a good conductor or a bad conductor? A good conductor doesn't give any resistance. And a bad conductor is full of resistance. So if we become good conductor means no resistance. No resistance means no false ego. And no false ego means completely surrendered. So this is a process of surrender, this is a process of becoming a good conductor. Then Krishna's mercy will flow, Krishna's potency will flow. And when Krishna's mercy flows, then all kinds of wonderful things happen. When one becomes empowered, then even an ant can hold the entire universe. Because it's not his energy, it's Krishna's energy. But he has simply become the via medium. And Krishna is using him. In this respect, there are so many wonderful examples. One wonderful example that often I think of is Hanuman. Hanuman, he broke all the long jump records. He set his own record and he broke his own record also. Like the first record breaking jump was from the southern tip of India to Lanka. And then his next record breaking jump was from Sri Lanka to all the way to the Himalayas in the northern part of India. Inconceivable, isn't it? I mean, how can one jump? How can one jump thousands of miles? And look at his third record breaking endeavor, achievement. He carried a mountain and jumped on back to Lanka from Dandamadan mountain in Himalayas. How could he do that? How could he do that? Because he was empowered. And this is the meaning of becoming empowered. When you become empowered, then we can do all kinds of wonderful things. Because then we are not functioning with our limited human ability. Then we are functioning with inconceivable Krishna's potency. And with Krishna's potency, this movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. And that will come with all kinds of wonderful achievements. And if Prabhupada's loyal followers don't achieve that, who is going to do that? If Prabhupada's loyal followers don't achieve this wonderful mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, then who will do that? Therefore, let us keep our goal fixed, every town and village, no compromise. Not even one town less or one village less, every town and village, that's our goal. And let's try to act in a humble state of mind. Humble state of mind means whatever service comes, we accept it and try to do it in the best possible way. If you're washing the pots, let's wash the pots in the best possible way. If you're cutting the vegetables, let's cut the vegetables in the best possible way. If you're cleaning the floors, let's clean the floors in the best possible way. If you're singing, let's try to sing the best possible way. Now again, one thought comes here now. Now how does one do it in the best possible way? By mastering the art of doing it. Not that we'll never try to learn to sing and expect that we are going to sing like a Gandharva. That won't work. If we want to do something, let's do it. Let's learn it in a proper way. If we want to paint, let's learn how to paint and then paint. Not that never touch a brush, you know, take up the brush and think, well, I'm just going to be even better than Leonardo da Vinci. No. Let's try to do things in the best possible way. And then we will develop certain pride. Yes, in Krishna consciousness there is pride. And what is that pride? That pride is, I am a devotee of Krishna, I am not going to settle for anything less. So on this very special day, let us try to indoctrinate ourselves with this very special mood of Srila Prabhupada, very special principle of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada himself said, just offering flowers and incense is not the worship. Just offering some flowers is not the worship. The real worship is, you surrender yourself, you offer yourself. That's the flower that the spiritual master wants. A very special lotus that is your heart. And that's what Srila Prabhupada wants. Let's offer our hearts to Srila Prabhupada. Let's get fully committed to Srila Prabhupada's mission. Let's not consider that we are here in the temple and we are doing something. After all, even to ring the bell once in a while is doing something. And having a picnic with Mahaprasad is also a very remarkable picnic. No. Let us do something that the world will become awestruck. And what they will say? Only Prabhupada's followers can do things like that. That was my response when the press came, when we got this land, and we announced that we are going to build a temple. And I told them that I'll build a temple within 1 year's time. Within 1 year. And the press immediately questioned, are you sure you'll be able to build a temple in 1 year? And I said, and then when the questions came, and finally I told them, I mean, what's the big deal about building a temple in 1 year? My spiritual master built 108 temples in 10 years' time. So what is one temple in 1 year? So that is how we have to become Srila Prabhupada's representatives. And there will be certain amount of pride. Yes, people will say, the devotees of ISKCON are very proud. Yes, that pride is a different kind of pride. That is the pride of being the servant of a big master. We are simply servants, but our master is big, and that's our pride. Our master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotee. So Srila Prabhupada created an inconceivable good fortune for not only for us, but for all the living entities in this world. He created an inconceivable good fortune for all the residents of all the towns and villages. So let us now distribute that good fortune. So preaching is the essence. Our main mission is to preach Krishna consciousness. And let us become fully committed to that, and most earnestly, most sincerely engaged in this activity. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.